Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to you by BetterHelp. Right now, visit betterhelp.com/ghoststories. That's better, H-E-L-P. And join over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. Visit betterhelp.com/ghoststories and use our offer here, betterhelp.com/ghoststories, and get 10% off your first month.
You know, there's a reason for cautionary tales.
Then why don't more people heed their warnings?
I don't know, but after they hear my new show, they will think twice.
Oh yeah? About what?
Eating Tide Pods, playing with Ouija boards, talking to Karens, you name it. If you should heed caution, we're talking about it.
Check out Harper's brand new podcast, Cautionary Tales with Harper, available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you download podcasts.
And be sure to press subscribe and give us a review.
Cautionary Tales with Harper.
Subscribe wherever you download podcasts today.
Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, where the dolls in the store marked not for sale, truly haunted dolls. And if so, what were they actually capable of?
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And it is 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com, or email your audio file. Send it to Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you like the show, support us. Keep us on the air. We greatly appreciate that. You can sign up to do that. Just go to ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. It is only $5 a month. And when you do that, you get access to all of our bonus episodes. You get advanced episodes of the show released to you weeks before the release to the public, and they're all commercial free. Plus, you get our ebook, our audiobook, that right there, a $30 value if you bought it through Amazon or Audible. Those are included in your membership, so you can start binging away right away. 300 some bonus episodes just to get yourself going on that, and we do greatly appreciate it. Maybe a early Christmas gift for yourself or someone looking for a unique Christmas gift for somebody else. You can do that too. If you need any assistance on getting that set up, just shoot me an email. I'll be happy to do it. But you can always just sign up and then, you know, tell the person the password and username you set up for them, and voila, in a card, they'll be thrilled if they like ghosts. Kind of a unique one. So Tony and Jenny joining you on today's episode of the program. And how are you this fine day?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. We're recording this in late October, airing early November, and no clue what the world will be like in about roughly a week and a half, 2 weeks. So
let's not go there.
Let's not. But no. But that's that. Just so you are home listening going, why are they talking about this or that? Because we don't know. We're just sitting here.
If we sound just totally obtuse to what's going on in the world, that's because we haven't been through that yet.
So we're still sitting here in the prime day of October 26th, when this is airing on the 9th, I believe, of, is that what I said earlier?
That's what you told me.
Yeah, of November. Also, Livy's birthday.
That's so right.
So happy birthday to Livy. Of course, you guys have heard her on the show before, and she's been helping with a lot of the online stuff lately with filming, and she's got the shadow people the other day. And
She's our paranormal photographer.
Yeah, and she's been doing some of the ask questions and helping me with that. So I'm sure you'll see more and more of her in the coming weeks and months and years on the program. Somebody said they saw her because she was doing the interview the other, asking me the questions. Like, it's Jenny's mini.
Yeah, it's my mini, yeah. Jenny.
It really kind of was. Anyway, happy birthday to her. 14.
Yeah, 14.
So. Holy shit. It's hard to believe. 2 years old when I met her, when we started dating.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's just kind of amazing. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to our first story of the day. It says, hey guys, my name is Amanda. I have a short little experience I'd like to share with you. Happened just a few weeks ago. My boyfriend Chris and I and our two close friends, Quentin and Janelle, took a little vacation down to Virginia for a few days. On the second day, we decided to venture out a little bit and see what we could find. We ended up visiting a little town called Port Royal, Virginia. It was filled with a bunch of antique stores, so we figured we'd check a few of them out, which was fine by me because I love things that are old, vintage, and spooky. Anyways, the first one we stopped at was a smaller one. Can't remember the name of it, sorry. But we all walked in and started glancing around. The woman working there, who's the owner, was behind the counter cleaning some items. She said hello and asked if we had ever been there before. We told her no. We were down vacationing from Pennsylvania for a few days and were just out exploring. We talked for about a minute, then she told us how the building used to be a hotel back in the day and proceeded to let us know how she had the building played out now for her antique store. We did not really ask too many questions, which I wish we did so I could have a little more information on the building. I was a little one-story L-shaped building with only about 8 rooms at the most. So, of course, 2 girls split off from the guys after the first room. Janelle and I were in one room checking out all the stuff. I look over and saw these 3 old dolls sitting on a child-sized rocking chair. I'm not scared of many things, but dolls are at the top of my list. They're just creepy, and I always think I'm going to see one blink or something. But anyway, I walk over to take a look, and I don't know why, but I touched one of the doll's hands. Janelle sees me doing this and looks at the dolls and notices on the one's lap there was a little slip of paper that says, "Not for sale." She tells me this and says, the only dolls that say not for sale are always the haunted ones. I jokingly tell her to shut up and we both laugh and continue to the next room. What happens next, I still have no explanation for. As we're in this room, we're by the desk looking at the creepy old bear we found, and all of a sudden, everything falls out from both sides of the little wallet clutch I had around my wrist. Both sides have zippers. I had not gone in my bag for anything since we went into the store. At the time, not thinking too much of it, other than wondering how this could have happened, I packed up my things and we moved on through to the other rooms. When we were done looking, our friends were buying a few books they had found, so we went up to go pay for them. And as we got to the front, I heard a woman talking to the owner, and she says, "I'm no psychic, but there's definitely something in here." And I hear the store owner say that one of the rooms was actually used as a brothel. At this point, a bunch of people started walking in, so Chris and I went to wait outside, and as we're standing out there waiting, I told him about me touching the doll and how it was not for sale, and then all the stuff falling out of my bag. P.S. He's a skeptic, and I'm working on that. Well, then our friends came walking out, and as soon as Janelle walks out the door, she goes, "I told you, Amanda," and proceeds to tell me that she started talking to the owner about how I touched the doll, and as soon as she said this, the owner asked if it was one of the dolls that are not for sale, and Janelle told her it was that at the next room, and all my stuff fell out of my bag. The woman says, "Oh yeah, that was just Emily. She's a little 10-year-old girl that haunts here." I was like, "Are you kidding me?" The one doll I decide to touch for some reason, and it's this little spirits girl's doll? Apparently the store owner even had a medium come in at one point, and that is who confirmed that Emily was there. I'm not sure if that is the only spirit in the building because it had a creepy vibe the whole way through, but I thought it was cool and made a good story to tell. That's it. Hope it makes it onto one of your episodes. I'll most likely be running in again to tell you many of my other encounters soon. Thank you and keep up the great work. Back to our conversation in a moment. First, I want to thank our supporter today, BetterHelp. If there's anything out there that may be bothering you right now, in the year of 2020, which I can't imagine what could possibly be bothering anyone in the year 2020. Look, it's been a stressful as hell year, no matter what is going on in your life. And if you add personal things on top of it, it makes it even more difficult. If there's something interfering with your happiness or preventing you from achieving your goals, BetterHelp is there to help you assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. That world of, well, there's nobody good in my area, or the people in my area are, you know, not specializing in what I need, that world is gone, okay? BetterHelp has completely reinvented the opportunity for you to get the help that you need. In fact, you can start communicating in under 48 hours. It's not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It is a professional counseling service, and it's done securely online. There's a broad range of expertise available, which may not be available locally in many areas, and that is the case in so many places. BetterHelp takes that away. It now makes it everything available to you, no matter where you are. In fact, they're available worldwide. Log into your account anytime, send a message to your counselor. You'll get timely and thoughtful responses. Plus, you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions so you won't ever have to sit there in the uncomfortable waiting room as you would with traditional therapy. BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, so they make it easy and free to change counselors if needed. More affordable than traditional offline counseling, and financial aid is available. BetterHelp wants you to start living a happier life today. So do I. Visit their website, read their testimonials, and see for yourself from the thousands upon thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people who are so happy. Here's this one. It says, Katie's been beyond helpful. She's great at unraveling my thoughts and posing questions back to me that help me make sense of what's happening in my head. I always look forward to our weekly sessions. Catherine said that, and you can see them all for yourself right there on their website if you go to betterhelp.com/reviews. Betterhelp.com/ghost stories is where you should go to get started. That's Better, H-E-L-P. Join over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp that they're recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. Special offer for you guys, our listeners of Real Ghost Stories Online. Get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/ghost stories. That's betterhelp.com/ghost stories.
That to me is what is always difficult about antique stores. Is it the location that is haunted, or is it an item within it that is haunted? Because most antique stores go into something that used to be something else. Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of rare that you build a new building to be an antique store. They go into old shops,
sure,
or whatever. So it's kind of like, okay, is it that, or is something attached to an item within it? And it sounds like it was attached to the doll.
It does. And to me, that's half the fun of an antique store.
The
structure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I mean, even if like the antique store I know is just like, oh, it's filled with porcelain birds and plates or something that I personally don't care about.
Yeah.
I'm like, whatever. I mean, I know that's some people's things. It's just not mine. But if it's a neat setting, I frequent it. Mm-hmm. Just to walk around the building and just look at the architecture. And I always notice things I didn't notice the time before.
Sure.
Or find a room that's kind of creepy and then, you know, freak you out. maybe buy a door out of the haunted room. Things like that, mm-hmm, which I've actually done recently.
Yeah, you did. You bought a door out of the room of one of our local antique stores that I don't go in that room.
You don't now. What is it about that room that you don't like specifically?
There's something in there that doesn't want us in there.
It's the room with all the letters, mm-hmm, the big metal letters that, I mean, and you can tell they're manufactured to look antique-y. They're not actually from a store.
It's not the letters.
No, it's the room itself. Mm-hmm. No. And we were looking for a door for our new office, new studio. I don't know how many times we've said our new studio on this show.
A lot.
Because it's like, you got a new studio? Yes. But this time, it's in its own structure. It's going up right now as we speak, right outside our window. And there should be no more new studios after this.
This one you have designed from the ground up.
Yeah. So, it's going to be one of those sliding doors on a barn door hinge.
Well, it's an antique door.
It's an antique door. Yeah. Like an office antique door almost. And, got a big pane of glass on. It's cool. It's neat. Anyway, we were looking for doors. This happened to be the only place we found antique doors that day was in that room of that antique store.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have any reservations about me getting a door out of that room?
No, because it's going in your office.
So you're cool with me turning into that office into an occult museum out there?
No,
what you're saying
no.
I can go for it.
Harper, after you said that, when we were antiquing, said she was going to have a room in her house that was going to be an occult museum. And then I said, no, you're not. And she goes, okay, what's an occult museum?
So. She just wanted to freak you out by telling you, because she thought the words occult museum sounded fun and would scare you.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and no, I didn't get any vibes from the door.
Mm-hmm.
So I wasn't worried about it, you know.
It's more so, in your opinion, that room, do you think, is something to do with the structure of the building?
Yeah, there's something there, and he can't leave the room, and he doesn't like it when people come in.
Think something happened back there?
No, I just think he's there, and that's his space, and he's stuck there.
Need help crossing over? Should we help him cross over?
I don't think he's going to do that.
You think it's just he's happy there?
I don't think he's happy at all, but I think he's there.
Human?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Just like a cantankerous person who...
Yeah. You can ask Libby. She's felt the same thing.
Yeah.
I mean, down to knowing that it's male and it's mad. So...
It's interesting. And that's that store. And the other store that has it that they talk about, it's up in the balcony.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's... does that one have a name?
That's Peter.
Peter, yeah.
That's where Peter lives, and I don't go upstairs because that's Peter's space.
I don't get any vibes of Peter.
Peter's not bad.
No, Harper loves going upstairs and looking at the art.
Peter's mischievous.
Okay.
He does things, but I just stay out of his space.
I think that's why Harper's kind of drawn up there.
Yeah.
I think her and Peter might get along.
Yeah.
And it's like,
she probably feels... his presence up there, and it's kind of a fun thing.
Yeah.
I just don't.
Yeah. She always insists on going up. It's the same pictures every time. Mm-hmm. It's like nothing's changed. I just like going up there. Okay, let's go up there.
The only thing I can think of is that room with the letters.
Mm-hmm.
That building was probably divided differently at one time because it's an old building, and this store takes up several different spaces. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of a maze to get through it. You know what's right outside of that room?
The prison?
The old jail.
Yeah.
So I wonder if that was like part of the old, you know, sheriff's office or police office or whatever.
Like maybe that's where they kind of, I was going to say it's probably was some sort of an office space either for, because that wasn't the general store. I don't even know what that was.
No, the other one that's haunted is the general store.
Yeah, I mean, but yeah, you're right. Maybe there was some sort of connection there. Because what Jen's talking about, and we have videos up on our social media on Facebook and Instagram. I'm surprised I didn't notice this till you pointed it out to me. Because it's like, it's a sore thumb and we've parked by it many a times. And how on earth I've never like gone, what the hell is that? Until you pointed it out to me. I don't know, but there is an old, like, four-person jail cell in the back of this parking lot that this town used to use as their jail cell, bars and all.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just standing. It makes me wonder how long, up until what point did they decommission this as the town jail cell? Like, I wonder if it was, like, much later than you would think, like 1980s or something.
Because, no.
Because this structure was probably built turn of the century, like 1900s.
It would have been inhumane. They probably stopped using that like in the 40s.
Yeah. It's in remarkably good shape.
It's solid concrete.
Well, for something too that, but doesn't get any, why it's still there? Why is it still there?
Because it's part of the history of the town.
But there's no like historical markers or anything on it. There's not, I mean, it's just there. I mean, it seems like,
It's not like you want to put a sign up, hi, this is where we put our bad people.
I mean, you would just put like, you know, maybe, I don't know, I would put something there that's just of just telling the history. Because there's other parts in this town that talk about its history. And if you're going to still have the building in the back of this random parking lot, it's a weird thing to see if you don't know what it is. I mean, you can go up and see the bars in the window and guess pretty quick. And then get it confirmed that, yes, this was the town jail.
Yeah, because I asked. Because that's what I assumed it was, but yeah. I asked what it was.
I guess one could take it as, well, maybe it's like a storage shed or something. I guess maybe that's what I thought.
There's nothing in it.
No, you look through the bars, and it was a jail. It's like, it is weird.
It would be a shame to tear it down because sure. It is an old artifact from a different period of time.
Sure. Think it's haunted? Do you get any vibes by the jail?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I don't like the jail.
Jails were only like, those things were used for short periods of time, though. That wasn't like, you know, you're incarcerated here for years on end. That would have been, you know, like the drunk tank and things of that nature. Wouldn't that have been?
Yeah, but there's a lot of energy in and out of there.
Yeah. And that's just the sheer amount that mm-hmm. would have gone through. Yeah. It's interesting. We have a lot of interesting things. Be sure to follow us on social media to see some of our adventures and stuff that we post up. Just search Real Ghost Stories online on Facebook, or you can follow us on Instagram at Ghost Podcast. I'm at Tony Bruschi. Jenny's at Jenny Bruschi. Bruschi is the way you spell it. Let's go to a caller. Hi.
Hi, my name is James. I didn't really believe in ghosts until this past year, actually this summer. Me and my wife and our good friend were in upstate New York, and we were going to this road called the 13 Curves. 13 Curves is a famous road. It's famous for a married couple who died on their wedding night in a car crash. And it's apparently haunted by the woman. In route to the 13 Curves, we were driving through the hills of upstate New York. It was, you know, late. It's late, long drive. It's foggy, misty. It was pretty terrifying. The spooky atmosphere. Getting about 1 or 2 o'clock, it was a 3-hour drive, so very getting close, when we pulled onto this road called Valentine Road. We pulled on this road and it had a completely different feeling than the other ones. It was kind of this panicky feeling. This feeling we shouldn't be on this road at this time. There's a feeling like something bad's about to happen. And we started driving on this road. All of a sudden, this dense fog came through. Dense fog where you couldn't see 5-10 feet ahead of you. We started seeing weird shadows and what we thought were animals running through the woods. Started seeing things that would just be out of the corner of your eye, but would be, you know, something scurrying through the ditch alongside the road looking at you. This is about a 5-mile road, and the first 2 miles, that's what it was. It was just seeing things quick. At about halfway through, the fog lifted, and we passed by this old abandoned barn with a sign out front that said, Jesus will lead you the way home. I'm not a very religious person myself, but the timing of this sign was very strange. We kept driving, and as we pulled up to this next spot on the road, I got very excited. This was cool to me, you know. I was like, "Wow, I wonder what this is. What's going on?" Yeah, I was scared, but it was interesting. And as we got to the next part of the road, there's this big field off our left hand side, and we're just looking around, and I looked out the left-hand window, and there's just this orange light floating across the field, nice and slow, kind of looked like a lantern somebody was carrying. And I'm sitting there with my friends, and my wife didn't catch it, but my friend driving actually caught it. And we get off the road, and I'm talking to him, and I'm like, I started feeling this dread, this panic, this... I was finally scared. I was like, did you see that orange light? off the left-hand side. He's like, I did see the orange light. I'm like, how are you feeling right now? He's like, I'm feeling very panicky. And just then, we were trying to figure out what the orange light was. We were talking to each other, trying to figure it out, anything we could to figure out what this orange light was. And just then, we were... Sorry, this is the part that gets me. We were we had a radio, and with the radio we had one of those devices that creates a radio station from the Bluetooth on your phone. So we were using that all night, and it was crystal clear in the car. And as we're talking about trying to figure what this device was, the radio breaks up. So it's about static for a minute, and then the static stops, and a voice comes through, and it says, "And now you know." And then the static returns, and then our music returns. And this didn't affect my wife. But hearing this voice come through is just full of pain and anguish. And it made me incredibly sad. Just terribly sad. Like, a sadness I have only felt from family members passing. It was a sadness I never expected to feel. I started crying. And little did I know from the back seat, but my friend driving, who also saw the orange light, he was crying as well. We were just both covered with this sadness. Now, we go to the 13 curves. We don't catch anything there. So when we come back, we're like, hey, let's take Valentine Road back home. And as we're getting on Valentine Road, we notice there's a cemetery out in the distance. And this is towards the end of the road. And when we looked out in the cemetery, there's a person standing out there, probably 4 or 5 in the morning. One person standing out there with an orange lantern. And I still have nightmares, and it chills me to the bone to think of that. Do what you want with the story. I haven't told anybody about it.
And that's where he gave his phone number, and that's where I stopped it. So,
well, I think the "and now you know" is, and now you know the paranormal exists.
Mm-hmm.
And that road is haunted, and the stories about the woman haunting it are probably true, as well as whatever's going on that other road, Valentine Road. So, I think that's very interesting. That was a really good story.
Do you think the ghost was a fan of Paul Harvey?
Why?
And now you know the rest of the story.
No.
Do you think the rest of what the ghost was trying to say would have been the rest of the Paul Harvey line? Or
No.
Just no. Now you know.
Isn't there a road in your neck of the woods where you're from, Seven Hills
mm-hmm.
Road? Isn't it pretty haunted or something like that?
Well, you'll find things like that really everywhere in areas where it's hilly. I'm guessing in Kansas that probably wasn't a thing.
No, it was more bridges.
You had bridges. You did, because there was Theorosis Bridge had the story. Similar type story. Either you have a bridge or you have a hill. And what happens with it is the stories quite often include some sort of an accident of some sort. The vehicle that you're in, if you put it into neutral, that it appears to be moving or coasting what appears to be the wrong direction,
mm-hmm.
Where it gravity should be pushing it one way, but it seems to be going the other. Technically, in many, many, many of these cases, it is simply an optical illusion just based on where the hills are and really truly where gravity is pulling.
Yeah.
So in many cases, they're debunkable. But yeah, we had like Seven Hills Road or something of that nature that was out in the country. And there was something like that where, it, you know, you put your car in neutral and it goes up the hill or a certain way. And then you can see the handprints on the back, because I think the story there was like a school bus accident or something. And I don't know that there's any way to that's any been verified or anything.
That one is, there's the school bus accident one, yeah. And the kids pushing the car.
Yeah, yeah.
That's all everywhere. Over the place.
Yeah. Yeah, but when but prior to the internet and prior to Snopes and prior to our show and prior to being able to verify that, oh, you mean everybody around the country has these same stories in their childhood of where they grew up? I mean, now that sort of stuff can be shared readily and rather than, you know, later in life when you get out.
But that's very different than this guy. I mean, his story may have started with urban legend, but sure. He had an experience. So yeah. it's not debunkable what he went through. That is sure. actually something that he experienced firsthand, and so did his friend. So that's yeah. that's different.
I agree. I was speaking more to what you had mentioned of like in my neck of the woods, a Seven Hills type road.
Yeah.
But yeah, this was, what he had was much more of a personal encounter that rather than just here's the urban legend. Theorosis Bridge near Wichita. That was the story. How did it go? That she threw her bridge off, her baby off the bridge or something?
And then killed herself or something like that.
And then people hear her or hear the crying. I have had people call in, swear to God, they've heard babies crying around there.
Yeah.
When I was doing, prior to this show, when I would do the Halloween thing, basically just like this show on Halloween, I would do calls, real ghost stories from real people is what I always called it. And on Halloween and locally when we were in Wichita, I had plenty of people who called and shared a similar story of, you know, they went out there with the high school and they were, you know, daring each other, you know, who's going to hang out here the longest. And I had several who, you know, claimed, you know, they thought it was bullshit, but swear to God, you know, they heard it. Now, there are many animals that can sound like babies crying. Mm-hmm. So it's a river with a steep bank and a bridge. So not a whole lot of trees around there either, if I remember correctly. A good place for shelter for really any animal in that area would probably be under the bridge, under that steep bank.
Yeah.
So I could see it being a hot spot for foxes and raccoons and a lot of dens of animals living down there. And then people invading, you're probably going to piss off some foxes and raccoons in daylight, and you may hear them crying like children. But I don't know the validity of that story, but that was one of the local ones.
Yeah.
And they're fun to hear. They're fun to tell. I'm always interested to dig back as far as I can to find out what is the, you know, where did this begin? Mm-hmm. And I don't know that I've ever dug to my knowledge. I haven't dug very deep on that one.
No.
I know I have asked, I think on the air I even asked, I was trying to dig into it once and I just would get the urban legends, but it was interesting nonetheless. 855-853-4802, our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to this caller. Hi.
Hi, my name's Kirsty. I'm from Australia. Been listening to your podcast for probably about 2 years now and I love it. Every time I listen, I think of a story of my own. So on my mother's side, the women are quite sensitive. My grandmother used to have hear a knock on her door every time someone had passed away. She used to have people sit on her bed, etc. And my mum used to be able to channel for people, and she did tarot readings when she was younger as well. I have a lot of experiences like I'd love to share, but there is one more recent one. It's got to do with my dreams. I dream a lot. I dream about things before they happen, and it's something I didn't realize was actually something that I could do until recently. I used to just kind of make excuses for it. Anyway, one of my closest girlfriends a few years ago was dating a really abusive guy, and I didn't know at the time that he was abusing her. But anyways, I went to the house she lived with him, where his dad also lived with them. And I remember it just feeling like a bit of a low vibe in the place. I didn't really like it, but I really didn't mind his dad. I thought that he was quite nice, and he seemed pretty, you know, mellow and kind. But anyway, so I didn't know any of this abuse was going on with my friend and this guy. And one day I was visiting her and we were just watching TV, and I fell asleep on the couch. I had a really, really deep, like vivid dream. I was like really deep asleep. It's hard to explain. When I woke up, my body was vibrating. It was the weirdest experience. Anyways, I dreamt in that house that I was in that house, and in the dream everything was exactly, you know, as it was in real life, except there was like this massive hole in the wall, and it was like the bricks of the inside the house, of one of the walls inside the house, had been like knocked out. And I went in the dream, I went in there, and it was just dark. It was this dark kind of space, really dark, really bad vibes, a really negative vibe in there. And what I saw was this guy's dad, my girlfriend's partner's abusive partner's dad, sitting in a chair. And there was a big, like, what it looked like a projector screen in this really dark, you know, room or space. And it was flicking through sort of what looked like memories, you know, like from the past or whatever. And I saw my girlfriend's partner was in there as well, and he was kind of just standing there, and I think he kind of had a bit of a smirk on his face. But I just remember it feeling really dark and actually a little bit sad. I felt sad, I felt concerned. It was extremely vivid, so it felt so real. Anyway, so I woke up from that sleep, and when I did, like, it was almost like my soul had left my body and come back in, because when I woke, it was like my whole entire body felt like a motor. It was literally vibrating like a motor as I was waking up, like coming back to reality, so to speak. I just thought that was really weird. And actually, a year and a half later, my girlfriend actually left this guy. And because of the abuse, and found out that he had murdered his dad. He'd actually killed his dad, which was all in the news here, and in the paper. And my girlfriend had to go to, you know, court and testify and things like that as well. But yeah, I thought it was pretty crazy, because it's something that only just clicked, like, you know, after the whole event. And then I remembered the dream, and I only told my friend recently that I dreamt that, and we both kind of got goosebumps, because I had that such an intense vivid dream about the dad and her partner at the time together in this dark, really negative space with, like, you know, their lives on a projector screen. So yeah, I wondered, yeah, what you guys thought of that, and what you think of dreams like that, and with the waking up, with my body feeling like a motor. I thought that was really weird. I've never had that before, but I do and have had a lot of sleep paralysis, and I have astral traveled, I believe, a couple of times as well. I just sleep and dream. I dream really vividly, and I have a lot of theories on sleep paralysis and things like that. So yeah, I have a lot of ghost sort of paranormal stories too, like a lot of them. but maybe I'll share them some other time. Thanks so much. I love your show. Bye.
And we'd love to hear them, so please do send them in.
I think that premonition dreams are paranormal, and I think that it's tough because you don't know how long in the future or how near in the future these things are going to actually happen, you know? So it's hard to give a warning to somebody if you can't pinpoint when that's going to happen, unless there's something within the dream that you know, gives you a definitive date. Mm-hmm. So, you know, for it to be like a year later and then find out that this guy killed his dad and it all makes sense. You know, she knew that was basically going to happen. But sometimes with premonition dreams, you don't really truly understand the meaning of them until it comes together. And then you're like, oh, I get it now. And that sounds like what happened here.
Yeah, I mean, I think sometimes, you know, you connect those dots after the fact. And sometimes you get stories where people are in situations where it's like, I had this dream, I have this piece of information, but I mean, the information, you know, where'd you get that information? You tell somebody in my dream, it's not going to stand up anywhere, mm-hmm. you know, but I do believe that sometimes that is how, you know, whether or not justice ends up getting served out of a dream. I mean, sometimes it can lead to points of evidence that can be proven, but many times it doesn't. But sometimes I think that's just how a message can get across, you know, without, you know, getting litigious on things. It's just, you need to know this, and that's the main purpose. Mm-hmm. And that's, I think, what you have going on there. Thank you for sharing that experience with us. Our phone number is 855-853-4802 to share your real ghost stories with us here at Real Ghost Stories Online. We would love to hear them. And that is going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, support us, become an extra podcast person, an EPP, sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. It's only $5 a month. Get access to all of the bonus episodes. You get access to advanced episodes, ebook, audiobook, and more. ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Until next time, for Jenny, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.